Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Ransom-Bello.
Has He separated us from our transgressions? Thank you because you separated us from our transgressions. Thank you because you did not punish us, even though you judged our deeds on the cross. Thank you because you loved us with an everlasting love. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Wave your hands to the Lord and bless the Lord. Wave your hands to the Lord and bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. For in Jesus' name we pray. Let all those who are free in Christ clap those hands and bless the Lord. Glory, 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 glory. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to welcome you again to our midweek service. So please welcome your neighbor to your left and right and say it's good to see you this evening. Ask your neighbor, how are you? How was your day? You can give your neighbor an answer. Praise the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Praise the Lord. Let's celebrate audacity. Our Jesus band. Audacity, God bless you. You keep blessed, you keep pouring out every day. And the Lord bless you for your labor of love and the good work you do every time. Minister Gift, I'm seeing the hand of God on you and the choir. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for class part two? All right, so today's class, we started last week and we're going to continue again. So last week we started the conversation on grace and the law. All right, so we're going to continue from that conversation tonight. Just to do a recap, so what I want you to do is get your notes, your writing pads, because I want you to teach these things to someone else. Whatever you learn in the scripture, one of the major essence of the scripture, or should I say the scripture. In fact, let's look at it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Everybody is meant to grow in a very good level of understanding of doctrine. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine, that's number one. Number two, for reproof. Number three, for correction. Number four, for instruction in righteousness. So, number one, doctrine. Number two, reproof. Number three, correction. Number four, instruction in righteousness. Let's see another translation. So when you read the Bible, you should understand that you are in phase with doctrine, and you must be well taught and astute in doctrine. Amen. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Well, a little bit watered down, but yeah. Let's see, NIV. NIV, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So let's read this four. Number one is what? Teaching. You're not reading with me. Number one is what?
Teaching.
Number two? Rebuking. Number three?
Correction.
Number four?
Training.
So
When you open the Bible, you are meant to be faced with a teaching. That teaching there is what the King James says, doctrine. All scripture is for doctrine. So as a believer, you must understand doctrine. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's not every time you hear the word that ministers to your need. There's a place for that. There's a place where you hear the word and it encourages your soul, or it speaks to something you're trusting God to do for you. There's a place for that. But there's a place where you are in face with the word that is in touch with doctrine. It's in touch with a teaching. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. We'll come back here. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 13. Anyone who partakes only of milk is on. There was a version that just flashed now. What version was that? Before you went back to the good. Stay here. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with what? With the teaching about righteousness. So there is a teaching. Somebody say teaching. Which the Bible calls doctrine. NIV says teaching. King James says doctrine. So there is a teaching that every child of God, please tell your neighbor, including you. You know, because I'm raising a lot of great guys, a lot of great men. Some of you are world-class billionaires. Did you get? Some of you are in the marketplace. You are in the media department of media. You are in entertainment. You are in academics. You are in politics and governance. You are wherever you are. Did you get? You are in business and industry. Wherever you are, you must know this teaching. Is important so that all your Christian life is not all about what God can do for you because of the job you are doing. And that's the problem where a lot of Christians are in church only to receive what God can do for them because of their job. And you know, I've been saying for a long time that your job is not the end, it's a means to an end. And what is the end? Say it in your own words. What's the end? There's no wrong answer. As long as you say something that sounds nice, you are correct. So what's the end? That job you are doing, what's the end? Reconciling men to God, fantastic. Throw me answers. Anyone you say is fine now. That the kingdom of this world becomes the kingdom of our God. Msendo, you were saying something.
Excellence of God's kingdom in this world.
Very smart. Just repeat TSP vision. Establishing the excellency of God's kingdom in all sectors through spirit-inspired leadership. What's the end? So that you get your perspective right. Right? Because people are in church for breakthrough. In fact, 70% of the body of Christ, especially in Africa, are in church because of breakthrough. Because of the hardship in Africa. Are you getting what I'm saying? So we must have our priorities right. Amen. So anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, that's you're still a child, is not acquainted. So are there people who are in church for a long time but still children? What is the sign that they are children? From this verse, what is the sign that people in church for the longest time can still be children? Because they are not acquainted. What's the meaning of the word acquainted? They are not familiar. They are not well taught. They are not grounded with the teaching about righteousness. So a mature believer is the one who knows the teaching about righteousness. I hope that makes sense to you. So back to 2 Timothy. It's not part of my message, but let's just 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. So all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, so that the Bible is for doctrine, okay? So you can grow in doctrine. The Bible is also for correcting. The scripture is for correcting. And the scripture is also for rebuking. You see? The scripture is also for rebuking, and the scripture is also for training. Do you remember, I think it was last Friday, I was talking about training and instructions. Because training there is when you are given instructions for the purpose of training. That's what it means there. All right? You're given instructions. So the scripture is loaded with so much of instruction. I was sharing with the workers and I told them the mission God gave the apostles, which is the disciples, which is to go into the world and make disciples of all nations. That's not a suggestion. That's an instruction. So there are some things in the Bible that are instructions. And the only way many of us can grow is when instructions are given. You can't grow without instruction. Information is not the only way people grow. People grow by not just information, but by practicals. Who wrote exams? Okay, I don't know what course you read, but there must be a level of practicality when you are in school. There is theory and there is practical. For a medical doctor, example, you cannot be a medical doctor by just reading. You must be in touch with a human being. That's practical. You must clerk a patient. You must speak with, you must be in the hospital setting to grow. So in the things of God, training is practical. Somebody say practical. That is why your growth in the body of Christ or individually cannot be only by reading Bible. Sila. Say, Your growth in the body of Christ cannot be by only what? Just reading the Bible. Reading the Bible is part of it. But if you cannot apply what you have read, you are not growing. So the growth, most of the growth is in the instruction. Because in the instruction comes with it a practicality. It's apprenticeship. If I one great theologian describes discipleship as apprenticeship. You know, I remember one of my consultants in nephrology. We were back in, that was, let's say 2011. He would always tell us medicine is apprenticeship. Medicine is apprenticeship. That most of what you learn is when you are within hospital setting. You are in touch with the patient. That's how you learn. Because if you're not able to transfer or translate your knowledge of what you have received from books into practical, you can't really grow. So he always used to tell us then, Dr. Obodaga, the great consultant, the great man of God, and he's also a man of God. He always used to tell us that medicine is apprenticeship. So even as a disciple, it is apprenticeship. So that's why I don't understand when people want to serve God without being in touch with people. I hope it's entering. Yeah, because how do you grow if you are not with people? Because part of the reasons why God brings us in a local fellowship or church is so that we can be in touch with one another to stir up growth from one another. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth what? Iron. So part of your growth, let's talk about love, for example. You're praying, God, I want to be a loving person. And this love will benefit you and your wife eventually when you marry. You're a guy. You're impatient. You don't know how to wait. That is, you know those kind of people where when you call them on the phone, before you even say bye-bye, they have cut the phone. Have you seen those kinds of people before? Okay, maybe you are even one of them. That's why you're quiet. But have you seen those kind of people before? Yes, they are very impatient and they are praying, Father, I birth patience in me. I hope the way I prayed it sounds deep, right? Father, let patience be birthed in me. The way God answers that prayer is by bringing annoying people your way. Because you can't grow in patience when there is nothing to work on. Are you feeling me now? Are you feeling Pastor Phil? You can't grow in patience if there is nothing to work on to learn patience. That's what you call VIP. That's very VIP. Do you get what I'm saying? You can't. So God brings the contrary so that you can grow. And how do you do that without people? You must have people around you. You say, God, I want to grow in the ability to be peaceful at all times. And God says, all right, I've heard your prayer. The next thing that happens is, help me preach. Peter said, the next thing that happens is VIO. I saw Asani one day. You remember when I told them, okay, there was one of the Saturdays, no, Wednesdays, I told all the workers, if you people come late on Sunday by 9 a.m., you will see my red eye. Everybody was running to make sure they are in church before 9 o'clock. So I was coming, it was about 10 minutes to 9. I was speeding from my house because me, we give the instruction. I can't be found wanting. I saw Asani, he was in front of me, driving, you know, LML 350, cool guy. And I saw him in front, VIO, you just saw him like this. Asani parked. Where is Asani? He parked. So I just passed. They didn't stop me because they had already engaged him. So I passed and I made U-turn. I saw him. He was trying to explain them. He was telling them. Oh my goodness. When you pray for God to give you peace, what happens? Issues upon issues. And that is an answer to your prayer. Because many times when God answers your prayer, he answers the prayer in seed form. It's you who don't know how to interpret it. It comes, but... So, you see, everything that is going on around you is designed for you to grow. Please, can you say that with me? Everything around me is designed for me to grow. So the word of God is for teaching, it's for rebuking, it's for correcting, it's for training. The scriptures are for training. Praise God. You know, for some of you, it's the way you see people. Remember what I said on Sunday? What was the message on Sunday? And there was great silence in the land. What was the message on Sunday? Eh? The loving judge, wonderful counselor. And we talked about Jehovah differentials. The God who separates. The God who knows how to separate our sin from us. Hey. That's what is it? Peter. Oh, I'm preaching and Peter is giving what's the hype man? Peter is my hype man. I'm preaching. Peter is saying, I swear to God, bro. So when I said the title of the message is... what did I say? Tell me. What did I say the title of the message is? Lovely what? Loving judge. Do you know what Peter said? With loud voice. Lovely judge. It was my wife who was telling me. See, Peter was just there disturbing my ears. And every time I kept saying, loving judge, he kept repeating his own. Lovely judge. So Peter is loving. Pilo is loving. Say it. What is it?
Loving judge.
Do you know, it still sounds like lovely judge. Hi. Oh my God, these two brothers. There was a day I heard Pastor Paul was speaking English. Do you know, I thought it was Igbo. His English was sounding like Igbo. Let me tell you what. And the funny thing is that he was actually trying to sound American. So, do you know how Americans say, ain't gonna happen? Like, it's not gonna happen. Ain't gonna happen. That's what Pastor Paul said. I said, Pastor Paul, what did you say? He said, ain't gonna happen. Where is Pastor Paul? I'm sure he's watching. He's on his way. With one hand inside pocket. You know, he will lift one leg up. Ain't gonna happen. I said, huh? Praise God. So, loving judge. Somebody say, loving judge. What does a loving judge do? He knows how to separate you from your transgression. Are you following me? Blessed Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who has loved us with his loving kindness and tender mercies, so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. He made his ways known to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. For as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy towards us. As the east is from the west, so has he separated us from our transgressions. He didn't even say, so has he separated us from transgressions, but so has he separated us from our transgressions. So God knows how to look at you and see you maintain perspective, but pushing your sin away. Some of you don't know how to see people when they have made mistake and see them the same way. You know, it's learning curve. Everybody's learning in this house. Yeah, you need to learn how to give people a chance. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, you need to learn how to give people a chance. Praise God. So all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching. Let's say it again, teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So all that I've been doing recently is training you guys in righteousness. And we're going to have workers meeting again on Friday. If you come late, you see my red eye. And I pray VIU doesn't hold you on the road. Because we're going out on evangelism on Saturday. Let me confess, I expected more joy, more rejoicing from that. Because if I said right now that God is going to uproot and shake, God is going to uproot and shake everything that does not be, and God is going to release windows of blessings upon you, the amen will be louder. But now I said we're going out on evangelism on Saturday. Praise God. So let's continue from where we stopped. We have about 40 minutes. All right. So where did we start from? Go back to your notes. Let me see what your notes read. What does your notes say? The purpose of the law. So where did we start from? Eh? Facts about the law. See, can you imagine? Confusion everywhere. Some say facts about the law. Did we define grace and truth is the topic of the series? Sorry, grace and the law. Thank you. Is the topic of the series? All right. What was the text we read? John chapter 1, verse 16. All right. And also verse 17. Let's go to it. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. Next verse, please. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus. So who gave the law? Moses. The law was given what? Through Moses. Grace and truth came what? Through Jesus. I saw on the internet someone was saying, we must learn how to focus on the teachings of Jesus and leave the teachings of Paul. I saw it on the internet. And I'm like, this is a big confusion. Because why are you trying to make Jesus and Paul quarrel? They're not a quarrel. What Paul is teaching, do you know that Paul was very clear that what he's teaching was given to him by Jesus? So you can't separate the teachings of, because I see that a lot. Say, let's magnify the letters in red. And if it is not Jesus, we don't honor it as much as what Jesus said. But how about the scripture that says, there are some things I want to say. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. There are some things I want to tell you now, but you cannot handle them until the Spirit of truth comes. And he will teach you all things. He will lead you into all truth. How about that? So, Paul, And I'm so happy. It's as if Paul foresaw that a generation will come that will try to create disparity between his teaching and Jesus. That's why he said that this message was given to me by the Lord Jesus himself. Thank God for Paul. And I'm also happy that on his way to Damascus, it was not an angel that intercepted him. It was Jesus himself. So nobody will say Paul originated the message. John chapter 1 verse 17 already shows us that this message is not Paul's message. It is Jesus' message. So the law was given through Moses, grace and truth. You remember, he says that anyone who is a child is unskilled in the teaching about what? Righteousness. So the teaching about righteousness is grace. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. But to buttress my point, Galatians chapter 1, let me show you something. Galatians chapter 1, let's start from verse 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1. I was reading this yesterday night before I slept, and it ministered to me a whole lot. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men, nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 6, I am astonished that you are quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. See, Paul says, I tire for you. How did you get there? Verse 7, which is really no gospel at all. That is, so Paul is saying that the another gospel you are switching to is not even called a gospel. Huh? He says, evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. So anybody who teaches what the gospel is not saying is perverting the gospel. For example, when people say, because Christ has done everything, you can do anything you want to do. That's not the gospel. That's a perversion of the gospel. And when something is perverted, it means it has been transposed. In fact, the real meaning of perversion here is transposition. That is, I am exchanging it from what it is to what it is not. Are you following what I'm saying? Next verse, verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. This is the only place in the scripture where I see in the New Testament where you have God's curse. This is about the only place in the New Testament, because the New Testament is not a book of curses. Old Testament, there's plenty curse. Blessed are you when you come out. Blessed are you when you go out. Blessed are your cattle. Blessed are the things you drink. Blessed are the things you eat. Then he ends with, this is Deuteronomy 28. He ends with, if you keep my commandment. But he goes on to say, if you don't keep my commandment, cursed shall you be. Inside and outside. Cursed. So the law is full of curses. Praise God. But God has delivered us from the curse of the law. Who says amen to that? Next verse, verse 9. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. This is a serious matter. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of who? So Paul is not the originator of the message. He's actually serving someone preaching the message. Next verse. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached, read with me now, is not of human what? Origin. Next verse. Look at this, where I'm going. Verse 12. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it. So why are people trying to make it look as if Paul has his message and Jesus has his message? Paul says, what I'm preaching, I received it from Jesus Christ. Except you don't believe in Paul. Except you don't believe in the scripture. He says, I received it from Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So grace and truth. So back to the theme scripture, John chapter 1, verse 16 to 17. Grace and truth came by Jesus. I said to you on Wednesday last week that the word and is the word kai. Back to John chapter 1, verse 17. The word and is the word kai, which means also. Grace also, truth came through Jesus Christ. In other words, the word and then means which is also. So you can say, but grace, which is also truth. So there's no difference between grace and truth. Truth is grace. Pastor, all this grace message, grace, grace. Let's leave that thing. Let's preach the truth to people. You know, it sounds good, but that's not doctrine. You see, all these things we're saying, I understand what you are saying, but you know, we need to tell people the truth. People need to hear the truth. The grace is the truth. The truth is the grace. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Then the next verse we read was Hebrews chapter 8 and verse. Okay, let's leave Hebrews 8 verse 7. Then we went into facts about the law. Now we said facts about the law. Number one, the law is holy. Did we say that? What verse, what scripture did we use when we said? Romans 7 verse 12, right? The law is holy because it's from God. The law was given to man from God. So whatever comes from God is holy. So the law is holy because it's from God. Number two, the law is a curse. Galatians chapter 3 verse 10, Romans chapter 10 and verse 5. Please, which one again? Romans, yeah, we did Romans 8:1, right? So please tell me, why did I say the law is a curse? Why is the law a curse? I didn't hear what you said, but you are correct. Clap for yourselves. This is a well-taught church. Come on. See, can you imagine? I'm happy you people are able to even have to celebrate yourself. Celebrate yourselves. Amen. Why is the law... why is the law a curse? Tell me why the law is a curse.
Because the law is weak in the flesh. Because the law is weak in the flesh.
Hey, man of God. You see, he doesn't just think. He also knows the Bible. Come on, amen. So please, anybody represent yourselves here. Why is the law a curse? Lovely judge. Pilo. Who is representing us on this side? Why is the law a curse? Yes, Faith. Anybody under the law must live by the law. That's why it's a curse. Because nobody can live completely. Are you with me now? So that's why the law is a curse. Galatians 3 verse 10, we said, for as many as, let's read it together, one to go. Curses everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Let's see the message version. This is why the law is a curse. Let's see the message version. Let's read it one to go. And that means that anyone who tries to live by his own effort, independent of God, is doomed to failure. Scripture backs this up. Utterly cursed is every person who fails to carry out every detail. Self-explanatory. So the law is a curse because nobody can carry out every single what? Detail. And a lot of people think that the law is just the Ten Commandments. There's the moral law. There's also the civil law. There's also the ceremonial law. There's also 613 requirements in addition to the law. And one of the requirements, that I always say this a lot, one of the requirements is that you can't climb a staircase. If you climb a staircase to the altar, you have sinned. Do you know that? It's part of the law. It's part of the requirement that you can't climb a staircase to an altar. So the altar cannot be from a staircase. So if we are to count law, the first people who are breaking the law is the pastor. Can we welcome the bishop? to minister and bless the people, and then he carries his Bible. First sin and I be that. Nobody can keep the law. Another thing about the law is you can't do mixed cropping in one land. That is, you can't plant tomatoes, corn, carrots within the one circumference. You can't. So do you know how many of us have been eating from sinful food? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you know how many of us have been eating from sin? Because what you are ingesting was planted together with other things. See, God is not a fool. God knows that the law, you can't keep it. But I will tell you why he still gave it. Do you know that when God gave the law, the first thing God did was to institute the priesthood? Because when he gave the law, he needed to create a measure for atonement, because there must be breakers of that law. In fact, the first person that received the law broke it. By the grace of God, he broke it. And then he went back up to collect another one. And then he wrote it with his own hands. Because the first time it was God who used his fingers to inscribe it on the tablet of stones. Then he gave it to Moses. Moses took it. Hi, I'm coming from the shadows of the glory. Shadows of power. That's a good name for those who want to start church. Or you want to release album. Shadows, your album. Even the album alone. Shadows of power. By the time people see the album with cloud, then you see six wings. You know that when you start to play the songs, heaven will just be coming down. Moses came down from glory, and then when he saw the people, they had made a golden calf. Out of anger, he smashed it. So the first giver of the law is the first breaker of the law. So the law didn't even make it. The law did not make it. Moses took it back. And God said, oh, this time I'm not going to write. I will dictate and you write. So God begins to dictate. Moses begins to inscribe. That's the beginning of the works. But I'll tell you why God gave that law. So when God gave the law, he now gave what? A priesthood. So that a priest is mediating for the people, because he knows people must break the law. So the Levitical order is born after the law is given. Aaron is, Hebrews describes the comparison between Aaron and Jesus. Who knows what I just said? Who knows what I just said? If you read the book of Hebrews, you will see the comparison between Jesus and Aaron. In fact, the book of Hebrews is the book of comparisons, because it compares Jesus and angels. It compares Jesus and Moses. It compares Jesus and Aaron. It compares Old Covenant and New Covenant. It compares the blood of sprinkling and the blood of Abel. That's the book of Hebrews. So the book of Hebrews is a book of comparison, because Hebrews, what is Hebrews? Hebrews is a group of people who are called Hebrews, or the Jews, that were under the temptation to go back to the law or to Judaism when they had received Christ. So that's why the book of Hebrews was written, so that people will not be under compulsion to return back to Judaism. So you see Jesus compared to Aaron as a better high priest than Aaron. Are you with me? Aaron is the high priest according to the order of Levi. But Jesus is a high priest according to the tribe of Judah. So the Bible is saying that the high priesthood from Jesus, which is Judah, is better than the high priesthood from Levi. So he says that Aaron was a type of the old, but Jesus is a type of Melchizedek. Who is Melchizedek? that he was in the fashion of Melchizedek, of whom it was said that there was no record of his birth and his death. So Melchizedek is called the Prince of Salem. Salem means peace. So he's called the Prince of Peace. Melchizedek was actually a king. He was a human being. It's just that there's no record anywhere of where he was born, and there was no record of where he died. So they said, this guy Melchizedek, who blessed Abraham, our patriarch, is the person Jesus is following. That it seems to be that Jesus lives on forever. To say that the priesthood of Aaron must die. That's the first limitation. But the priesthood of Jesus, Jesus as our high priest, does not die because he liveth forever. Are you with me now? So, knowing that comparison, you understand that Jesus, who is your high priest, lives to see that what he died for is accomplished. Come on, amen. Amen. So anybody who tries to live by his own efforts, independent of God, is doomed to failure. Scripture backs this up. Utterly cursed is every person who fails to carry out every detail written in the book of the law. So what else did we do? We said, number three, the law doesn't what? Save us. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Galatians chapter 3, verse, if I just go to the next verse, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. So now you know what the just shall live by faith means. Well, see, let me tell you how to interpret faith in the Bible. The word faith in the Bible is not an isolated word that stands by itself. You know, I used to preach those things when I was in school. And that's why whenever they invited me to school, I looked forward to going back, because one of my agendas was to correct some of the things I taught. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Someone say deep. So that means faith now is this substance. You missed the deep part. When I move like that, you are supposed to say, So let me do it again. So faith now is this substance. Then you see the pastor, he'll walk like this to make sure the people are feeling him. Yeah. Then he'll say, if you don't have this faith, you cannot have it. In fact, sometimes I'll just go and sit down. I like simmer in your head. No. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Should I do this? Hebrews 11. Let's go there. Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Mystery, types, and shadows, right? Next verse. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made from things which are visible. Next verse. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Next verse. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. Next verse. But without faith, this is one we all know, it is impossible to what? Please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Next verse. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. Now, let's jump to the last four verses of this Hebrews 11, because I don't have time to be doing all these ones now. Last four verse of Hebrews 11. I don't know what that is. What's the last four verses? They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Next verse. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. Next verse. And all these, listen, and all these, having obtained, who are the people he's talking about here? Who are the people we just called? Abraham, Sarah, Enoch, Abel. These are Old Testament what? Saints. Now it says, all these Old Testament saints, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. Follow me, oh. So, faith is the substance. This posture is not for nothing. Say something. Good. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. But all these who had the faith of what they hoped for did not receive, they obtained a good testimony through that faith. That means that faith was a promise of a substance that had not yet come. They did not receive the promise. Because by the time you start with faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Keep reading. Next verse. Verse 40. God having provided something better. Now, it says to them, which are the Old Testament saints. But now it says for us, who are the New Testament saints. So God having provided something better for us, that they should not, that they, who are the they? Old Testament, should not be made perfect. The word perfect here is complete. Should not be made complete apart from us. Huh? Now, keep going. Keep going. I think you enter chapter 12. Therefore, we. You know, you don't start a sentence with therefore. Therefore must be on the premise of something. So, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which easily besets us and run with endurance the race that is set before us. Next verse. Looking. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finish. So faith has finished. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So this is where you shout now. Feel like preaching. So faith is not substance of a car. Subhanallah. Faith is not substance of a mansion. Oh, I've got faith. I saw the picture in my spirit. I mean, see, I understand all of those things. There's nothing wrong with that. All right, when you can envision things that you have in Christ. But when you talk about faith objectively, what faith primarily means is that faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despising the shame and has sat down at the right hand of the Father. So it means faith is Jesus. You and I have come into finished, completed things in Christ. So, this let me just break down the story for all of you. Abraham, Enoch, Isaac, Jacob, who again? Samson, Moses. They were told of a coming Messiah. That Messiah was Jesus. But they never saw him. So, it was based on the promise that a Messiah will come that they used to do things. So, they were doing things by a promise. So he's now saying, you and I, we are not in the place of expecting a promise. We have been fulfilled in the promise. That's faith now. Are you following me now? So it means faith has happened. Faith has happened. Faith is not trying to happen. Faith is not a promise anymore. So nobody in the Old Testament could say all the promises of God in Christ are yes. They're not born them well. Because it was not yet yes. No. Because the Christ had not yet come. But for us who are after the cross, all the promises of God in Christ, they are yes, and we say amen. Amen. That's faith. So in those days when I used to think, when you can think it, you can have it. Yeah, it was knowledge for where I was, but there are deeper things. Now we know that faith is Christ. So anytime you see faith in the Bible, make sure that you are relating faith to mean faith in Christ. Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So number three, we said the law doesn't save us. Then we went to the purpose of the law. And we read, we said the first purpose of the law is what? To reveal sin. So, see, the reason why God gave the law is actually the opposite of why people think they should keep the law. People think that when you keep the law, you do away with sin by keeping the law. It doesn't work that way. Actually, the law is designed to reveal, to make sin very visible. That's the law. So we read from Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Let's read it. We did Galatians 3:19-22. So let's start with Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be what? Justified in his sight. For by the law is what? Yeah? Yeah. For by the law is what? The knowledge. It is by the law you know what sin is. You remember what I described? Original sin, personal sin. Adam, Abraham, Moses, and Christ. You remember? Adam commits original sin. Abraham is given the promise. So the promise was before the law. Who was born before who? Abraham or Moses? Who? Abraham is older than Moses. So the time of Abraham was when God made a promise. And he said, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That was a promise. And then the Bible says, by two immutable things, which is impossible for God to lie. What are the two immutable things? It's the oath, his word, which is the promise, and the covenant, or the oath. So his promise and the oath are the two immutable things. God is saying that, I'm going to do like you, man. I'm going to do like men do. Because men, our words are not enough. What if I tell you, if you give me 2 billion naira, I'll give you next year. Oga, that thing where you talk, you not do. That I will give you next year. She is not enough, sir. You will have to go into oath. So we must make what? A covenant. We must enter blood. So that when you truly don't do it, and you knowing the implication of covenant, you know how far. So people are bound to do what they are meant to do, not just by their words, but because of the covenant. So the covenant has bound man. That's the way they operated in the Old Testament. So God says, you know what, Abraham, just to show that I mean what I'm saying, I will speak in your language by doing covenant. So God gives Abraham a promise. But he goes further to establish the promise by keeping an oath with Abraham. But the difference between that covenant that God did and the covenant man does Because if Pastor Yemi and Pastor Ike are meant to go into covenant together, Pastor Yemi collects, okay, just forget that thing. There's covenant between the two of them. They will put, okay, two of you just come, Seth. Let me use you for the sake of the Lord. Minister Gift, you knew I would call you. I kind of feel you knew I would call you. Just come. Now, they cut animals in two. This is one part of the animal. Let's say this pulpit is one half of the animal. God forbid. Come and stand where I'm standing. You are not an animal. But he said, no, sir. But for the purpose of this illustration, you are half an animal. So these animals are cut in two. Blood is spilling everywhere. These two people enter covenant. You know what they do? They will say, so shall my life be. Like these two animals that have been cut in two. If I don't fulfill my part. Oh, I forgot something. I need a big person. Basi, come. So Basi becomes the umpire. You are even dressed for the part. As if me and you, we talked. So Basi is the umpire who is spectating. He is observing the whole process. Who has watched John Wick? The last John Wick, part what? Is it part four? You remember that guy who was there observing the whole process? That's umpire. So umpire is monitoring that these animals are well cut into exactly half. Each person is going to pass through and the process is concluded. So Pastor Ike begins to pass. So shall my life be. He's making the utterance. He's making this. He's uttering it loud in the hearing of the umpire. So shall my life be if I don't fulfill my part of this bargain. So shall my life be. Then the second part of the covenant passes through. So shall my life be if I don't fulfill part of the covenant. And then the umpire concludes their agreements together, signed by blood. That is how it's done. By the time, this is the language of man, because man must enter covenant to believe himself. So now, Pastor, I can go and sit down. In the time of Abraham, when God was now giving a promise to Abraham, God now told Abraham, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So this was a covenant between God. Now I'm God. Come on, amen. Can I just have a few seconds to feel myself? Now, so God told Yemi, Abraham, that I promise you, your seed will spread like the sand of the seashore. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So, he say amen. Sharp guy. So, what happens? Pastor Yemi is meant to pass through. God is also meant to pass through. So, God tells Abraham, oh yeah, cut. Abraham cuts. So, the moment Abraham cuts, what does God do? Sleep. So, God makes Abraham sleep. So, Pastor Yemi sleep. You go lie down today. Pastor Yemi, you have to lie down. You must lie down. Lie down, lie down, lie down. Abraham enters better sleep. You know where the Bible says he giveth his beloved sound sleep. And guess what? God now passes, and in the passing, he burns the torches. He burns with the torch. But it's the glory of his presence that burns. So these things catch fire as God passes. And then God is done with the covenant. And then Abraham wakes up. Covenant is done. Abraham wakes up. Pastor Emi, wake up in Jesus' name. Pastor Abraham now sees that, God has passed. I'm supposed to pass. God didn't let me pass. I'm supposed to even go first. And God says, you know what? This kind of covenant is the type that everything is on me. So that if you mess up, it is not your The fulfillment of the promise is not your prerogative. That's why God delays the promise till he's 100. Let me say it again so you do that thing. That's why he delays the promise till he's 100. Are you getting it? That's why God did not allow Abraham to have a child when he was young. So that he won't say it's my performance that gave birth to Isaac. No, he allows Abraham have a child when he's old, when nothing can happen again. Sarah, who is 90 old chick, is pushing. Have you seen that kind of thing before? So God says, this fulfillment is my prerogative. No wonder he says, by two immutable things, which is impossible for God to lie. And the Bible says that God looked for whom to swear by, and he found none greater to swear. So he therefore swore by himself. You know what that means? It means that God was looking for an umpire, because the umpire is supposed to be greater than the two guys. So if God is a participator in the covenant, it means an umpire should be greater than him. But because God looked round and saw that there is none greater than him, so God is both the umpire and the participator. So God swears by himself. Does it make sense to you? So you need to know what's happening behind the scenes when God delivered us. So this is a type, the promise he gave to Abraham is a type and shadow of the promise we have come to in Christ. Because it is still not man who made the covenant with God. It is between Jesus and Christ and God. We are only beneficiaries of the covenant. I made a covenant with God. Nobody makes covenant with God. Even Abraham did not even make the... It was God who made it, and he didn't even allow Abraham pass through. Because if you make covenant with God, you will fail. God will keep his part, but you will fail your own part. So after the promise, I said, who is older, Abraham or Moses? So he gave Abraham, somebody say, promise. What did he give Moses? Law. Law. So the promise is older than the law. Are you with me? The promise is what? Promise is older than the law, which means that because of the seniority of one, the law cannot be annulled or cancelled or invalidated because there is a promise that is older than it. Are you following this? So the promise already speaking ahead even before the law came. That means God has loved you before he gave the thou shall not. God has loved you before the law came. Because the promise preceded the law. Are you following this? So Moses now receives the law. And because of that law is the knowledge of sin. So everybody now knows that we are in sin. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the what? Knowledge of sin. What other verse did I read? What other verse? Thank you, Pastor Yemi. Which one? Thank you, my brothers. Which one? What's the second one? Galatians 3:19. Lesson 19, 20. We'll do 19 and 20. Yeah, Basi. Play some things. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of what? How clear can this be? Till the seed should come. To whom? The promise was made. So you see that the promise, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, is the promise about a Christ. So now we are in that promise because the Christ has come. Are you with me now? So what purpose does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Next verse. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Let's see if he has anything in the next verse. Is the law then against the promise? Which one was before? Promise. Which one came after? The law. So he's now saying, because God gave the law after the promise, does that mean that the law is against promise? That's the question he's asking. Certainly not. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. You're not following what I'm saying. He's saying that in the time of Abraham, it was promise. And who is, I just gave it away. I was going to say, what is the promise? But who is the promise? Christ, because Christ is the seed of Abraham. Galatians, if you keep reading down, you see where it says, and seed, not of many, which is seeds, but seed of one, which is Christ. So he's saying that from Abraham, a promise was given, which is about a Christ. But he's saying that the law that was given after the promise could not give the people life. It was only a mirror, but it couldn't remove the spot. Should I say it again that you do that thing? It was only a mirror that you ladies used to look at, but that mirror could not remove the spots. The law is a mirror, but that mirror can't clean you up. So he's saying that the law can't give life, but the promise gives life. So the difference between Jesus and the law is that the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The first Adam was a living being, but the last Adam was a life-giving spirit. So Jesus, who is the promise, of the promise, could give life, but the law could not give life. So this is the reason why you cannot be made perfect by the law, because the law cannot give life. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Verse 22. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those. Oof, not by those who work, not by those who perform. Not by those who sweat. There's a difference between sweat and work. That's why I ban the term hustling in TSP. We don't use that word here. You're not called to hustle. How's your day going? Omo, they do the hustle though. Keep quiet. You're not a hustler. Hustle was a product of the curse. He said to Adam, when Adam fell, he said to him that thorns and thistles will the ground produce from your sweat, and you will till the ground, all right? And the ground will produce thorns and thistles. So Adam, from the fall and from the curse, is meant to sweat. And even after the sweat, is thorns and thistles. Ah. But now that you are in Christ, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Are you following this? So you must understand that all things are in Christ. You have a different operation under grace. You're not meant to sweat under grace. Things are, the Lord, your God, has brought it my way. That's your life. Are you feeling me now? The Lord, your God, brought it my way. He says, I being in the way, the Lord led me. You know, sometimes people think that you need to teach how to be led by the Spirit of God. Something I don't have a problem if people are taught how to be led, but I want you to know that when you are led, you are led. Because as you are, come, man of God, as I'm holding his hands now, and I'm, who is leading who? Do I need to tell him how to be led? As he's walking, he's led. You don't understand what I'm saying. I'll wait for another day, you'll get this. It's led. You are living a led life. That's you. Hallelujah. Thank you, man of God. So I want you to understand that God has given you the promise. You have all things in Christ. We are delivered from efforts. Self-efforts that leads to toiling for salvation. Delivered from it. Delivered from it. You know, God says, Paul says something. He says, I labor more than the other apostles. Yet it's not I that labor, it's the grace of God. My dad and I were talking, you know. My dad calls me a lot, and I call him a lot. We talk about scriptures. And we're talking yesterday. And he mentioned something that those of us who are in the grace of God should actually be the ones to pray more. We should actually fast more. We should actually give more. So, being in the grace of God does not exempt you from work. It only empowers you for work. That your work is coming effortlessly, assisted by the grace of God, coming from a place of understanding. So you can't say you are in grace and you are the laziest person in the office. That's an insult to the message you have received. Are you with me? The grace of God is giving because it's a life-giving spirit with it. And it's for the purpose of something. It's to accomplish something. Are you with me? So when we talk about effort, you must know what we are saying. We are saying efforts for the purpose of salvation. No effort is required. But after salvation, effort is a blessing. Because the effort is coming from the place of grace. Are you with me now? So TSB, you are a well-taught church. Somebody say, I receive grace. I receive grace. Grace and truth came by Jesus of his fullness. Come on, say with me, of his fullness, I have received grace for grace. Of his fullness, I have received grace for grace. Two more times. Of his fullness, I have received grace for grace. Last time, of his fullness, I have received grace for grace. You have received the fullness of God. Lift your hands. Just bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Give him glory. Bless the Lord. Give him glory.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. And for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.